Today we're learning Nida Daf Tet. We're going to start at the Me'uberet Mishiyuvada Uvaha, 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, we're now going through all the different people. We started with the Betula, the 4 women that Rabbi Eliezer says. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos, his opinion, Daya Shata for 4 women. The Betula, the Me'uberet, the Minika, and the Zkena. So we're going to go through the different categories. We started with Betula yesterday. Now we're on Me'uberet. So now, what's a Me'uberet? When it's clear that she's pregnant, okay? It's not very clear what that term means. When is it Yivada, Yivada, Lehu, how, what? So, Gemara obviously asks, V'kama hakarata ubar? How long is this? Sumchus omer mishum Rabbi Meir, they bring a braita. Sumchus says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Shlosha chodeshim, 3 months. That's hakarata ubar. V'af api she'en raya ledavar, zecher ledavar. Even though we don't have proof, there's allusion to it in the Torah, Shenemar, Vayihi kimishlosh chodashim with Tamar, and then it was told to Yehuda that your Tamar is pregnant, your daughter-in-law, etc. So, what do we see here? There's some proof. So now the Gemara says, Zecher ledavar, kaktiv. What do you mean there's an allusion? It says it explicitly, right? That they realized once she was 3 months pregnant that she was pregnant. So they say, right, Uraya gedolai, it's the best proof you could possibly have. So what are the answer? No, because Mishum, now here's a fascinating thing about the way they viewed things. Mishum de'ika de'yaldah le'tish'a, ve'ika de'yaldah le'shiv'a. Okay, so first, number one thing, we've seen this many times, the rabbis thought that there were 2 ways women could give birth. Either they have 7-month pregnancies or they have 9-month pregnancies. Okay, that's number one. But, that assumption we've already learned before, even though we find it a little strange, right? Their assumption is if you have an 8-month pregnancy, the baby's not going to, right, it's not a viable fetus. So now, but what's interesting about this, they say Mishehu Karu Ba'ah is basically a third of the way into it. So for the woman who is pregnant, a 7-month pregnancy, her Hakarat HaUbar is going to be 2 months and 2/3 rather than 3 months. Okay? Now, why is this strange? Because according to this situation, first of all, no one knows when you're pregnant whether it's this or that. So what we're talking about is the whole halacha is, do we go retroactively or not? So we're going to say, if 2 2/3 months, what would we say? We go back, because it's only 3 months. However, if you, and then we're matame all your taharot that you dealt with, right, from the day before. So theoretically, according to this, if you end up having a 7-month pregnancy, then retroactively, anything in that last third of the month, you know, if it happened that you bled in that last third of the month and you were matame, you could actually, like, bring them back to, you know, they wouldn't be. It's a very strange...
How you could possibly track that.
Right, exactly. How you could possibly track that is very hard to understand. And what they say is, so what does this have to do with anything? Well, kimishlosh chodeshim isn't necessarily every woman. It's Tamar, because she was a 9-month pregnancy, but if you have a 7-month, it wouldn't necessarily be. That's why it's just a remez. Okay, a little bit out there. There's going to be a lot of things today that are going to be very hard to reconcile with reality. Tanu Rabbanan, Harei she'ayta b'cheskat me'uberet v'ra'ata dam. Here's another interesting one. She's pregnant. Okay, she assumes she's pregnant. V'ra'ata dam v'achar kach hipila ruach o kol davar she'en ashal kayama. She ends up giving birth to nothing. Okay, what does that mean exactly? To air. Okay, so the Koran had a good footnote. They're good with the reality kind of thing. You know, what's the realia here? So they say there's such a thing called a false or a phantom pregnancy, where a woman thinks she's pregnant, she stops getting her period, she then, you know, ends up actually like having potentially even labor pains, and then nothing actually comes out. Okay, I guess one can imagine some psychological situation where that could, you know, a woman could cause herself to maybe believe and even stop getting her period and something like that. I don't know exactly, but theoretically one could happen. Okay, so now.
She had a tumor,
yeah, and how would that?
And that could affect it could her grow. Pregnancy.
I see, it could. Okay, so let's assume maybe theoretically this is possible. So she assumed she was pregnant, she sees Dom, and then it turns out she wasn't. All right, so now we treated her b'dayashata, but maybe we should go me'ele because she wasn't really pregnant. So they say hare b'cheskat b'cheskata. She stays b'cheskata. She was b'cheskat mu'uberet. She looked like she was pregnant. We're going to take it at that b'dayashata. We don't have to go back and retroactively, you know, say whatever she was dealing with was now tameh from those 24 hours after she saw blood. Even though we can't prove it, we have a remez. What's that? An illusion. Hare chalinu kemo yaladnu ruach. Oh, sorry. I didn't write it for you, right? It's not harinu. Harinu, chalinu, kemo yaladnu, or chalnu. Okay, we were pregnant, we got sick, and it was just it, right? And then we gave birth to a ruach. What's this actually a reference to? It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. It's like when Bnei Israel went to Galut. They got pregnant, meaning they thought they were going back home, right? Back to Eretz Israel. But then they ended up giving birth to nothing. It didn't actually happen. So now they say, Ma'zecha l'davar harei rayag dolai. Here you have. You can yalad ruach. There is such a thing. So what do they say? Right? Kiktiv haikha bischarim tiv. Fascinating pasuk. It was talking about men. They were talking about, right? I mean, only men, but, you know, that was the way they viewed the world. Like, it's talking about Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel is men. It doesn't really, what they're really saying is, it was a metaphor. And therefore, you can't learn from that anything. Uriminhi. Now we're going to have a contradiction, though. So, according to this halacha, someone who is hipila ruach for the purposes of me'eit le'eit, right? For the purposes of do we go me'eit le'eit or dayashata, right? We're going to say dayashata, not me'eit le'eit, right? In case you forget what these terms are, dayashata means from here on in, but not retroactively. Me'eit le'eit means retroactively. So we're going to assume since she was a chizkat me'uberet, we're going to treat her dayashata. So basically, we're going to say this was like a real pregnancy. So the Gemara is going to spring a contradiction. If there was a woman who kishtashnaim, she was having labor pains for 2 days with bleeding, ulashlishi hipila ruach, and on the third day she also bled, but then miscarried this ruach, o kol davar she'eno shel kayama. So what would you think? Is it tumat leida or tumat zava? Well, if we view it as a real pregnancy, it should be tumat leida. But clearly we don't, because it says harei zo yoledet bezov. She's considered like zava blood, that blood, and not yoledet. And if you want to treat this as she was really pregnant, which means we treat it as a real birth, we're going to take blood that was samuch leida, right? Even though it shouldn't have a real birth, but it sounds right, and we're going to say it's not dam yoledet. So amar papa, we're now going to say the two cases are different. Hanach me'eid le'eid derabanan. When it comes to derabanan, we're going to be meikel and say dayashata because it's only exera derabanan. But when it comes to which damim is she on a doraita level, we're going to go by the fact that this isn't a pregnancy. So they're basically saying don't compare the two because one is derabanan and therefore will be meikel, but that has nothing to do with how really we define it. Rav Papa amar, second answer. What's the reason that we consider her? And this is going to come up again, so let's get this clear. One of the reasons they give, why is she... These women are called masulakot tamim. It means they don't bleed regularly. Now, why is she... There's all sorts of reasons why someone might not bleed regularly. Why is a pregnant woman considered masulakot tamim? Because her head is heavy on her, her evarim are kvedim, she's not feeling well. Okay, like her body is heavy. And because of that, it causes the blood. I know, it's a little hard to understand exactly what they mean by this. You'll see even more when we go on. But her body, there's all these changes going on in her body, and that causes the blood not to come. Okay? So, hachanami, now, how does this relate? Likewise, if that's the issue here, it's not an issue of do we call this leida or do we not call it leida. The whole question is she misuleket tamim? Well, this woman, she was having physical symptoms. So those physical symptoms, hachanami, rosha, ve'evarek, fe'din ala, so not because we view it as a birth, and then it wouldn't contradict the other source, it's because this, also this situation of this phantom false pregnancy causes blood not to come, right? It causes her not to bleed. So that's why. Okay, here comes our interesting question. So I want to go back for 1 minute to this mishu karubara. Till now, the only definition anyone brought for Mishu Ukar Ubara is 3 months. That's Sumchus in the name of Rabbi Meir. You don't really see anywhere else that anyone says otherwise. Okay, we brought up the other day that theoretically nowadays there's a debate about a positive pregnancy test, whether that could function instead of Hakarata Ubar. I want to show from this sugya that I think even then they had other ways, like they actually believe that the woman knows when she's pregnant, possibly. Okay, I'm going to read this sugya. If we read it as if 3 months, it becomes a little bit difficult for 2 reasons. So, okay, let's read. Ba'aminei Rabbi Yirmiyah mi-Rabbi Zeir. If you remember Rabbi Yirmiyah, he always asked the nudniki question, so here comes one. Ra'ata ba'achar kachu kara ubara. Let's say she sees blood, and then right after, it's noticeable that she's pregnant. Now, what exactly does this mean, right after, okay? So, if you say, mishalosh chodeshim, so we're basically saying, again, when you say you're 3 months pregnant, nobody really counts to the hour, to the day, right? This sounds like she saw blood, which she was in the period not yet Mishu Karu Baha, but then immediately after Hu Karu Baha. It sounds like Hu Karu Baha is a moment in time and not necessarily calculating 3 months from your last pregnancy, unless you could just look at this question as a Rabbi Yirmiya Nunnik question, like he's just, you know, okay, what if, you know. So theoretically, I guess what this means is, let's say you get your period, you know, on Gimel of the month, you know, at night. So Gimel of the month, 3 months later, you know, whatever, exactly that day. And then this was right before nighttime. I don't know exactly how you figure out this scenario, if you view it that way. So I want to suggest that later, when we get to the end of this, maybe actually it's viewed differently. But Mishu Karbara, I'll even maybe say it now, theoretically, you know, there's some women who realize at a certain point, like they start to vomit or they feel really sick and they haven't gotten their period, and the combination of those things makes them realize, oh, I feel my body, I feel I'm pregnant, I can sense this. So it could be that that's it, and that makes a lot more sense with this question. If she sees blood, she doesn't yet realize she's pregnant, and then right after, like, something happens and she realizes that it's clear that she's pregnant. Maybe that. Okay, so anyway, he asks the following question. So what if she sees, and then ukar bara mahu? Do we say, well, the moment she saw, at that point she wasn't yet hukaru bara, so therefore we're going to be mitamei lemafreya? O dilma, kevan de samuch lachazai lo mitamei. Or do we say, since right before hukaru bara she saw, and then it became obvious that hukaru bara, we're not going to go retroactively and be mitamei. We're going to treat her as if she was mesulechet dami. So what's the Gemara's answer? And this is where I find it very difficult. If we go by the first reading, what causes this hiluk damim? Because she's feeling sick and, you know, everything's heavy on her. But in the beginning, right, so now let's substitute in the first 3 months, she doesn't have that physical difficulty. It only kicks in after 3 months. Now, what's the difficulty? Any woman who's been pregnant knows that the first 3 months are much more difficult, or at least, right, not the very first, but after a certain point, it's much more difficult. And definitely when you hit the 3 month period, that's when things lighten up. So the whole logic here doesn't make sense. Now, to say that rabbis didn't understand women's bodies, I find that hard to believe, because this, for instance, maybe the anatomy of women's bodies, they didn't understand some other things or what goes on inside, but they saw their wives were sick, and it's hard to imagine that they really thought, oh, 3 months, everything gets much, you know, is much more difficult. It doesn't make so much sense. So therefore, my reading of this is that it's that she realizes she's pregnant. And what makes her realize she's pregnant? She starts feeling sick. So really what it's saying is the very beginning of pregnancy, you're not really feeling that sick. Then she sees blood. Then immediately after, she starts feeling sick. So we say that when she saw the blood, she didn't have that sick feeling. She was totally fine. And only after that, and therefore we're going to start from, we are going to go lemafreya and be mitame. So it's a possible reading of Mishu Karu Bara. Maybe there is a way of reading it as if it's her own knowledge of herself being pregnant. Okay. Another question. An old man asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Okay, now, you're supposed to check every month certain dates, that assuming you're going to get your period. So let's say every day on every month, the third of the month, you get your period. So you keep checking the third of the month, third of the month, even though you're pregnant, and right, until Mishu Karu Bara. So now he says, what if she has a Vesek Kavua? She always sees on the Gimel of the Hebrew month. And then, but it's Bimei Ibura now, but she's already 3 months in. Below Bat Khan, she didn't check. Mahu, is it a problem that she didn't check? So now he explains his question a little better. Kamibayele, I'm only asking, Aliba demanda amar vestota oraita. There's a machloket about whether you have to check, whether that whole thing about checking is in a doraita level, because we assume women have very regular cycles on a doraita level, and therefore you always have to check on that day. Or some people say Vestota Durabanan. He says, I'm only asking my question if you hold Vestota Oraita. Do we say like this? Man kevan de Vestota Oraita baya bedika. Since they're Doraita, you still need to check, even though you're Mesulekhet Damim, but your Vestet's Doraita, that overrides. O Dilma kevan de Damim Mesulekhin lo baya bedika. Or do we say, no, she's considered Mesulekhet Damim, that overrides the Doraita Vestot. Vestot Doraita is only when she's regularly seeing blood, but in this case she's not regularly seeing blood, so she shouldn't need a bedika. So Rabbi Yochanan answers him from the following source. Amar le'tinitua, let's learn it from the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Haita, okay, this is another Mishnah later on in Nida. Im Haita b'machave, if she was in a hidden place, meaning someone took her into captivity or something, v'higia shat vesta, and it's the time for her to do her bedika, v'lo badka, and she didn't, tehora, it's fine, anything she comes in contact with is tahor. Why? Here's an interesting one again. Shecharada masaleket et adamim, another view of the rabbis, by being scared of something, that causes your period not to come. Okay, I was thinking, what's the most obvious comparison we could see in our life? People who have anorexia, or, you know, what's the word for all those?
Bulimia.
Yeah, I was going to say general eating disorders. Often you stop getting your period.
Also,
you
know, athletes.
Right, athletes. And there are certain things that create, so maybe they thought that, you know, very high anxiety could potentially...
Trauma. What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, stress, trauma. It could sometimes bring on your period, and it could also push off your period. So these things could. So therefore, we're going to assume that ad kedei kach, they're saying, it was so clear to them, this woman is considered mesuleket amin. Okay? So now, what does he say? How does this prove what he wanted, what he asked about? Again, now we have a woman who's mishu'ukaru bara, and she doesn't check on the shot of eset. So first of all, you have to prove that his whole question was only if you hold vestoto oraita. So the first thing we have to do is, if we want to prove it from this source, we have to prove that this source was referring, that was of the opinion that vestoto oraita. So if they say like this, tam adika kharada. It sounds like the whole reason here is because she was under stress. But haleka charada v'igia vesta v'lo badka tmea. But it was implied, though, that if she wasn't in the situation of charada, and her vesta came and she didn't check, she'd be tmea. So therefore, what does that prove? Alma vesto doraita. The source must hold the vesto doraita. And now, what does it say? Well, v'kevan di'ika charada damea mesulakim v'lo baya b'dika ha'chanami damea mesulakim v'lo baya b'dika. This also then proves, even if you hold vestot oraita, if you're considered mesuleket amim, you don't need to check. Okay. Next category, minika.
We're still, they're learning from a woman who is in a
stress situation. Yeah. They're learning from there. What do you see? Because they're saying the principle is this. She's considered mesuleket amim, and she's considered mesuleket amim. And even though vestoto doraita, because you have to prove that must be referring if you hold vestoto doraita, even though vestoto doraita, if you didn't do bedika, you're tohora. Therefore, the pregnant woman, same thing. As long as you're mesuleket amim, the whole thing of vestoto doraita is not relevant if you're mesuleket amim. That's what it's basically saying, which makes a lot of sense. Now we get to our nursing woman. Again, we're going to have a lot of things that they assumed we're going to have a lot of questions about, is this really reality? Okay, minika ad shetigmol, until she stops nursing. Tanu Rabbanan, minika shemet bina b'toch 24 chodesh, harehi kechol anashim u'metama me'ed leidem mipgida lepgida. Okay, the first opinion says, if her child is no longer alive or she stops nursing, she goes back to being a regular woman and we go retroactively. She's not mesuleket amim anymore. Lefichach, therefore, let's take this one step further. Im haita minikato v'holechet arbo chamesh shanim, daya shata divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, this doesn't exactly match our reality, what we see nowadays, which is if you're going to nurse for 4 or 5 years, most women at that point are getting a very regular period, right? Even a few months into it, theoretically, they could be. So, but here they say, no, it all is depending, are you nursing or you're not nursing, having nothing to do with time. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon omrim, the three of them say, no, dayan shatan kol eskrim v'arba chodesh. It all depends only on time. Lefichach, im haita minikato arba v'chamesh shanim, mitama me'eleidem v'pgida l'pgida. Right? They're going to say the opposite, which is 4 or 5 years, no way. It's just the 24 months. So now they're going to try to get to what's the basis of their debate. Kishetim tzalomar ledivar Rabbi Meir. If you look into it, ledivar Rabbi Meir, here comes an interesting line. Dam ne'ekar v'naseh chalav. Okay, the blood basically turns into milk. Either you have blood coming out of your body or you have milk coming out of your body, right? It's a very, you know, you can see old-fashioned kind of way of looking at it. Something coming out of your body is either this or that. It must be that the blood somehow turns into milk. Okay?
I think that was a known... it makes sense that they didn't make this up and that there were... makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The divrei Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, evareha mitparkin, ve'ein nafsha chozeret ad 24 chodesh. She went through kind of trauma during childbirth, and her nefesh, which doesn't just mean her soul, nefesh hu adam, The blood doesn't come back till after 24 months. What's fascinating about this is they're debating reality, right? Now, maybe also because different women are different, so they wanted, you know, this is like a classic, even though they knew that maybe this doesn't match reality 100%, they wanted to come up with a general principle, which obviously we all know, right? I always laugh, you know, when you start reading that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, right? This could happen and that could happen, and this could happen and that could happen, and there's absolutely no rules, right? Everything's under the realm of, you know, many things are under the realm of normal or to be expected. But they, you know, they have a system, they want to kind of say, well, let's look. Okay, so they had different tfisot about it. So now they're going to say, notice each opinion had two shlavim in the braita. It said, this is the halacha, and, or this is the principle, right? Or the, this, and then, and therefore, and then they got to the woman who's nursing 4 or 5 years. Lefichach de Rabbi Meir Lamali. Why did you need to say, therefore, if she's going 4 or 5 years nursing, we're going to just say dayashata, right? We're going to still say dayashata because it all depends on nursing. Wasn't that obvious? So they say, the reason why they said lefichach for Rabbi Meir was to be parallel to the Mishum Lefichach to Rabbi Yossi, because we need the Lefichach of Rabbi Yossi and the other rabbis. So then I say, well, Lefichach to Rabbi Yossi Lamali, why did we need that Lefichach also? Seems pretty obvious. If it's 24 months, then it has nothing to do with whether you're nursing or not. So Ma'u Detema Rabbi Yossi Tarti Lehu Kama Shmalan. You might have thought he needs both that you're nursed, and as you need, 24 months is the minimum, but theoretically, if you continue to nurse, maybe we go even beyond. That's why you needed his lefichach to say no. It's only 24 months, not having to do with whether or not you're nursing. Tagen anihachi, a brighter to support that was the reason behind what they said. Dam ne'akar v'naseh chalav divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi omer evareh mitparkim ve'ein nafsha chozeret ala adasrim v'arba chodesh. So first the Gemara said those were their reasons, and here we have a brighter that says they each themselves said those were the reasons. Amar Rabbi Eli. My Tamid to Rabbi Meir, where does he get it from? The Dam Ne'ekar V'Naseh Chalav. Okay, they don't say that he gets it from the Greeks. But what does he say? Dichtiv mi yitain tahor mi tamei lo echad. Okay, this is a pasuk from Iyov, right? It sounds like Iyov. Who is the one who does this? Is it not the one, meaning only God? So what is mi yitain tahor mi tamei? So who can bring tahor from tamei? What is that? Tamei blood can become tahor milk. Okay, we can take something that's blood, that's tameh, impure, and we can turn it into milk, which is tahor. So, if that's Rabbi Meir's proof, sounds like a pretty good proof, although, right, maybe not necessarily. Okay, interesting, they don't say, you know, this isn't a proof, but it's just an allusion. So, Rabbanan, who disagree with him, those three rabbis, how would they explain this pasuk? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zo shechvat zera, shehu tameh, v'adam anotzar mimenu tahor. It's a reference to childbirth. That you could take something that's impure, which is shechvat zera, it's tumat keri, and yet you could create something beautiful out of it, right? Something, you can create something pure. Here's a third interpretation of that pasuk. V'rabi, is it Eliezer? Elazar. Rabbi Elazar omer, oh, that makes sense, the M-O-R, okay, because we're all M-O-R-im here talking. Rabbi Elazar omer, elu mehanida. Okay, now this is not nida. This is what we call the mechatat of the efer paraduma. We put it, right, we call it mei nida, okay, we mix it with water and everything, okay, the whole process. Shehamazeh umazin alav tahor, v'nogea tameh. Okay, mi yitain tahor mi tameh lo echad is referring to this unbelievable thing that we can never really understand, this paradox that echad, who understands it, only God understands this, that the one who sprinkles and the one who gets sprinkled on is tahor, but nogea tameh, but the one who touches it, right, the one who's dealing with it, the Kohen who's in charge of it, is actually becomes Tameh, right? It's a strange thing. He's taking something that's going to purify someone and he himself, from dealing with it, becomes Tameh. So now we're going to have a bit of an aside about this line because they're going to say, Mazeh Tahor, the one who sprinkles is Tahor. V'haktiv, doesn't it say in the Pasuk, U'mazeh me'ani da yichabes begadav. The one who sprinkles it, what's kibus begadim? It means you're Tameh, and even not only are you Tameh, but your clothes are Tameh also. So what do they say? And here the source says, the mazeh is tahor. My mazeh nogea. Oh, mazeh in the pasuk doesn't mean mazeh. It means the one who touches, not the one who sprinkles. It seems a little weird. And all the more so it seems weird, because if you read the whole pasuk, v'aktiv mazeh, v'aktiv nogea. It says in the pasuk like this, u'mazeh me'anita yichabes b'gadav, meaning he has a high level tumah, v'ha nogea b'me'anita yitmah da'erev. He doesn't need kibbutz begadim. So we have the mazeh and we have the nogea. So to say that the mazeh is the nogea makes absolutely no sense. So we're stuck with, the pasuk says the mazeh is tameh, and Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, says that the mazeh is tahor. So how can he possibly say that? So now they say v'haktiv mazeh v'haktiv nogea v'od mazeh by kibbutz nogea lo by kibbutz, right? The mazeh is at a higher level tuma than the nogea. So elamai mazeh nosei. Mazeh means, instead of mazeh, they say the word mazeh is referring to the nosei, someone who carries the mechatat. So now they say, wait a minute. Okay, if you're going to say that, what's the obvious problem? Should have said nosei, right? V'lichtov nosei. So what did they say? Kamashona, why did it use the lashon mazeh when it really meant to carry? Da'ah didarei kishir haza'ah. You need a shear to be able, in other words, you need the requisite amount needed to sprinkle on a person to purify him. If you carry that requisite amount, you become tameh. If you're carrying less than that, you're not. So that's why it used the word mazeh to mean the carrier, because it means the carrier who carries enough to sprinkle, he becomes tameh. Okay, we can accept that. Except that it's only going to work if you say that there is a requisite amount for sprinkling. So here goes. Hani chalaman damar haza'at tzricha shior. We actually learned this a long time ago, that there's a debate. Do you need a certain amount to sprinkle on a person to make him tahor? Or can you just sprinkle a teeny drop and he's tahor and that's it? More like, is it a symbolic act or is there something, you know? So anyway, if you hold haza'at tzricha shior, then we understand. That's what mazeh was used to teach you, nosei the shior. There is no requisite shior, or how can we possibly explain? So what do they answer? That's on the person's back or on the person's body. In other words, yes, you don't need a shior to sprinkle on a person, according to one opinion. But even that opinion holds, but the kli itself, when you put the water in the kli with the efa paraduma, it needs to have a certain shior. How do we know this? It says so in the Mishnah. Kiditznan, kami yihu b'mayim v'yehe b'hen kedeh. How much does it have to be in there? Kedesh yitbol rashe givolim v'yazeh. Enough that you can put the ezov. If you remember, they dip the ezov in and sprinkle with the ezov. It's like a branch. So that, if there has to be enough that the top of the branch, you know, the head of the branch, the stem goes in and has what to go into. And if you have a teeny drop, that doesn't work. He has to be able to dip it in to a certain amount. Now we have, everyone agrees there's some sort of requisite amount, and that's what it means, mazeh, to say carrying the requisite amount that was needed for haza'ah. But the actual person who sprinkles is tahor, as Rabbi Elazar said. V'hainu damar Shlomo, and this is what Shlomo said, amarti ech kema v'hi rechoka mimeni. He said, I know, I'm so smart, I know a lot of things, but this I just don't understand. Okay, and that's the explanation of the pasuk of mi yitein tahor mi tamei lo echad. And only God understands the logic behind this. Some people say his explanation, his pasuk, is referring to some other things we learned before, but the other opinions also. But anyway, we'll leave that. Ezo hiskena. We're now moving on to our skena. Here we have also a fascinating sugya about when you determine someone's skena. Okay? Again, it's like Mishu Karu Bara. It's when it's noticed she's old. Now, when is it noticed someone's old? Okay, so, Kol she'avru alah shalosh onot samuch lizikna'ta. Okay, anyone who has three onot, that she doesn't see blood, as long as it's close to the time that she's becoming old. Okay, now, so what is old? Echidami samuch lizikna'ta. At what point are you considered almost old? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, okay, it's that her friends call her, you know, old lady. Rabbi Shimon, okay, right, this is fascinating. Right, what friends does she have? Rabbi Shimon Omer, I was thinking about, you know, when you're little, you think, oh, 50 is so old. When you get closer to 50, you think, oh, 50 is not old at all, you know, and then you get to 60, you say, 60 is not old, and then, oh, you know, and then you're like, that's not old, 80, right, 90, you don't seem very old, you're only 90, you know. So it's all relative, and that's what this is getting to, right? So anyway, Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, because we're in Amoraim, not Tanaim. Kol shekorin la'ima, ima ve'eina bosha. Ima was obviously a term they used for older women. Okay, it's not like mother, but ima, if they say that to you and you're not embarrassed, so thinking my daughter always sees people on the street and categorizes them by, you know, how they look. So they ask, like, she'll say, are you an Ema? Are you a Safta? You know, and there's some people she says, are you a Safta too? It happened the other day. There was someone with some gray hairs in her hair, like a strip of gray hair. And she's actually very young. And she asked her, are you a Safta? And I was so humiliated. You know, and it's exact, you know. So if you say I'm an Ema and the person's not embarrassed, then it's okay, right? Like lots of times she says, are you a Safta? They're like, yes, I'm a Safta. And they're so excited and they talk to her, you know. So you can see that. Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shmuel bar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Charamar kol she'ina makpedet, Charamar kol she'ina busha. So now, in taking what Rosh Lakish said, there's two interpretations. What does ena busha mean? Either she doesn't get angry, or she's not embarrassed. So now they say, my benayu, what's the nafkamina? Ika benayu bosha ve'ina makpedet. You could have a woman who's embarrassed on the inside, but she doesn't get angry on the outside about it. In other words, you get to a certain, and this is a great line, it's about how you get to a certain place where you're okay with who you are, you're okay with your age, you're okay with, okay, I understand I'm old. It still bothers me a little, but I'm not going to get angry if somebody thinks I'm old when I'm not really old. Okay, so interesting that they define this entirely subjectively, right? It's really fascinating. Bekama ona. So now what did we say? Three onot have to pass. So Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. That's Rabbi Yehuda, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. They called him Nisiya to distinguish from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi because they were both Nisiyim. Rish Lakish says the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. Ona bin onich l'shem yom. What we mean by an ona, the average ona is 30 days. So we mean 30 days, 30 days, 30 days. Altogether 90 days passes. She doesn't see blood. The Rabbi Amar Rav Chista Esrim yom. He says 20 days. It seems strange. V'lo pligi, mar ka chashev yimei tumah v'yimei tahara, umar lo chashev yimei tumah. Okay, the interpretation is a little odd. One included the tum and tahara days in it, so the 30 days included the days she bleeds, and the Rav and Rav Chista, who said 20, meant 20 in addition to the days that she bleeds. Now, you would think the day she bleeds is 7. That's usually nida, where we get to 10. So Rashi says, interestingly, yimei tumah asara, shiv'a l'nida v'shlosha l'ziva. They're taking like a woman who bleeds 7 days and then another 3 days and then becomes a zava also, and then we're talking about that's 10 days and then another 20. It seems like a bit of an odd explanation. Another possible explanation, by the way, could be, if you remember, we talked about nida days, zava days, nida days, zava days, and what did we say? The smallest possible cycle is 19 days, and maybe that's what he means. In other words, since that's the smallest cycle, 19 days, so let's just do 20, 20, 20. It could be the 19, 19, 19, but I guess it's a more round number, and that would be the smallest possible cycle. So after already 60 days, it's theoretically she hasn't seen three times. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. So she, again, what happens? She's a skena. She doesn't see for 3 cycles. Then she sees, what do we say? Daya sha'ata. She doesn't have to go back because she's a skena. What if, still, daya sha'ata. But now, she's basically established that I'm getting very regular cycles, but I'm getting... Well, they're not even so irregular. They're just not monthly. So she got, right, she saw after 90 days, and another 90 days, and another 90 days. Now she already establishes, I've seen blood 3 times at a certain hefresh of time. So what do you see? She's obviously seeing blood. So now she's going to go back to retroactive invalidation of taharot. Below shekivna, ela afilu pichata v'hotira. And okay, there's a circle here, the parentheses. Not exactly clear how to read this. Okay, we're going to see that the Gemara struggles with how to read this also. Okay, so let's just read it the way they read it in the beginning, which is not only if it was exactly 90 days, but even if it were 91, then 90, then 89, or 90, 91, 92, right? Is there some 3 re'iyot in some reasonable pattern, even if it's not exactly a pattern, it would also be the same. Okay, so below shekivna el afilu pichata v'hotira. So now they say afilu pichata below mebaya kivna. In other words, if pichata doesn't make sense to say even pichata and obviously kivna. In other words, the obvious assumption was there obviously if kivna, but they're going to say and pichata is the chiddush, right? But adrabah, it should be the reverse. Why? Ki kivna, not only should it be the reverse, but kivna actually shouldn't be made late. Why? Ki kivnah, she's every 90 days exactly. Kavala vesta, v'dayashata. What do we learn? Kol isha sheyesh la veset, dayashata. We're assuming that when she sees on the day of her veset, she certainly didn't see yesterday because orech bizmano ba. So, v'chi tema rabbanan hu depligi alei de Rabbi Yosa. Maybe this goes like the rabbis. Remember there was a disagreement about this. Who disagree with Rabbi Yosa, da'amri, isha sheyesh la veset, mitamam elei. Maybe you'd say this goes by the rabbis. But if that's the case, then ibchamibaile, it should say the exact opposite. It should say the lema, the losha pichatava otira, not only if it's irregular, ela afilu kivna, even if it's exact, because we disagree with Rabbi Yosef, who thinks if it was exact, it would be made, it would be dayashata. We don't go back because it's obvious. And we're being machadesh, no, even if it's exact. And that's not what it says. So they say very simply, okay, so change the words today. Losha pichatava otira, ela afilu kivna, and then it's only Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yosef. Or ibayit ema, you could read like this: Hachi kamar velo shekivna ela shepichatava hotira, aval kivna kavala veset v'daya shata umane Rabbi Yosi. They change the words entirely. They say lo shekivna. Well, not that they change the words, but they change the meaning. Lo shekivna means not if kivna. If it's exact, no, this halacha doesn't apply. Only if pichatav otira, only if it was 89, 90, 91, 89, you know, it goes flip-flops or whatever. It goes more, it goes less. But kivna, kavala veset, and dayashata, then if for a different reason, she's not going to go made late. And mani, who is this hold? Rabbi Yosa specifically. So two ways of rereading that source. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol isha shavruala, okay, this is avruala shalosh onot, okay, and then, I just have to remember exactly what it says. Kol isha shavru alah shalosh onot, daya sha'ata. Okay, right. As soon as she sees three onot, then daya sha'ata. Okay, so what are we talking about? So, Tanya. Amar lahem Rabbi Lezer l'chachamim. Right, this is talking about a young girl who hasn't gotten her period. Once she sees three times, she's considered made late. So, okay, but there's a bit of a debate here because Kol shavru alah shalosh onot, one second. Kol shavru alah shalosh, sorry. The context of this is, I have to remember. What?
It says in your old age.
Right, sorry, that's what it is. In your old age, avru alah shalosh onot, and she doesn't see, then she's considered dayashata. So, Tanya. Amar lahem Rabbi Lezer l'chachamim. Ma'aseh b'riba achad b'hitlu. There was a case of a young maiden in Hitlu. She'psika shalosh onot. Okay, she stopped seeing three onot. Okay, and then they said, she stopped seeing three times. She's considered that she doesn't see blood anymore. Amrulo, ain't shatet chak raya. So they say, shatet chak doesn't prove anything. I have to go back for a second. It is in the Mishnah referring to even a young person. Okay, if a young person doesn't see three onot, already, right? Basically, she creates a chazaka that she's mesulek etamim, even if she's not samuch l'zignata. It was one of the opinions. If you remember, not everybody agreed with this, but it was one of the opinions. So now they say to him, right? He says, here's my proof. There was a young person, they have sika shalosh onot. Case came before, and they said, oh, don't go be mitami l'mafra. So amru lo, ain shatet chak, raya. They say, what do you mean? You can't prove from shatet chak. That was a shatet chak. So they say, my shatet chak ika. My shatet chak, what was the shatet chak? Ika de amre, shnei batzoret havu. Ika de amre, tarot afish la'avida. V'chashu rabbanan lehefseh tarot. Okay, so either it was a time of a famine and they didn't want to ruin all this food, okay, or people say that she had dealt with a lot of, afish avida means she dealt with a lot of tarot. So it was a big hefseh, right? Sometimes we have that where the halacha is more mekel if there's a huge hefseh. Okay, so and they were worried about being mafsid, all these things, so they were makeup. Tanu Rabbanan, Maaseh v'asa Rebbe k'Rabbi Eliezer. So now we're going to have the same brayta we saw in a different case, where Rebbe held like Rabbi Eliezer. La'achar shenizkah amar k'dayu Rabbi Eliezer l'smoch alav b'shat etchak. After he remembered, then he said, oh, by the way, right, we should only hold like Rabbi Eliezer in a shat etchak. So my la'achar shenizkah. What did he all of a sudden remember that he said this? If we say that it meant he remembered that the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, but that we don't paskin like him, but we paskin like Rabbanan, Bishatet chakecha yavid kavate. We had this exact source a few days ago, right? If really we possibly like chachamim, we can't possibly hold like Rabbi Lezer in a shatet chak. Okay, it's not possible. Ella, it must be de lo itmar hilchata lo kamar velo kamar. It wasn't decided yet who we hold like. Umay laharshin iskar. Laharshin iskar de lav yachid paligale. Right? It was that he remembered that it wasn't Rabbi Lezer versus some other rabbi. It was Rabbi Lezer versus the majority. And therefore, Ella Rabin Pligale, and therefore he said, Amar Kedai Rabbi Lezer, the Smochala B'Shatet Chak. That's why in a Shatet Chak we can rely on the unique opinion since we hadn't paskened against him. But if we had paskened against him, we wouldn't be able to. I wonder, by the way, if these stories are all part of the whole thing of Rabbi Lezer standing against the rabbis. And there's the whole story of Tanur Rosh Lachnai, was that he really stood in front against all the rabbis. And maybe Laharsh and Iskar is maybe even after the Maaseh that happened, and it was, you know, he realized he can't possibly like Rabbi Lezer as an individual against all the rabbis because it's too similar to the Tanur Rosh Lachnai case. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Tinochet shelo igiyas mana lirot. V'ra'ata pam rishona daya sha'ata. So right, the whole thing about it, so now we're going to have a tinochet. Shelo igiyas mana lirot. This is like the reverse of this kena, right? That's getting close to ziknata. Here we have a girl who's, let's say, 9 years old, okay? And sees some blood. Rather than she's getting to the age of 12. Okay, so lo igiyas mana lirot, by the way, right, everything we all know has changed nowadays, and girls are getting their periods much earlier, right? That's changed, and you can imagine in those days, right, it was probably unlikely that a girl got her period, although they do talk about banot being ruyot libya already at age 9, but it doesn't seem like they were getting their periods. So tinoket shel lo igiyas mana lirot, v'ra'ata pam rishona. So the first time she sees, daya sha'ata, that's the whole thing that we've been talking about, right? Shnia, daya sha'ata, but shlishit, so 3 times she establishes, now I see, since she's lo igiyas mana lirot, we're going to see the halacha for her is different than someone who kvar igiyas mana lirot. Okay, so now she's kechol anashim mitamame eleid and mipgida lepgida, right? Either 24 hours or it's her last bedika. Avru ala shalosh ono b'ra'ata, but now, so now, she 3 ono pass and she doesn't, right? She sees after that, then she goes back to dayashata because she's now missed 3 months. Now she's going to be just like this kena. Another 3 months passes, and then she sees still dayashata. Once she sees, let's say every 90 days, right? Then we're going to assume she's back to whenever she sees. We're going to call that a regular cycle. What if she is of age? So now, pam rishona dayashata. So now, last time, what did we say? First time dayashata, second time dayashata, only the third time do we say mei le'eit. Here we say, shnia already mitama mei le'eit, because we assume, look, she's obviously gotten her period, and now the next time she's already going to go retroactively, umi pkida la pkida. Avru ala shalosh ono pirata, dayashata. But if 3 ono pass, though, and she doesn't see, then we go back and say dayashata, because she's now established a chazaka that she doesn't see anymore. Okay, we'll stop here.